button up on my hit me. Stay armed like a wristband. I don't kick it with no hole. If you want to kick it, get a kickstand. All these bitches is big feet.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
And I'm a horse.
Are you ever going to say your name right?
A horse.
It's been 3 weeks now. A horse?
I'm a horse. I got to change.
Are you literally a horse?
I'm objectively a horse.
Okay, well, that's the horse. And this week on the show, we're here to talk to you about some amazing music. First up, it's rap artist Cupcake. Her album Etherize has taken over the ears of many a listener here in the early weeks of 2018. We'll spend some time talking through every profane lyric on that thing, as well as all the great beats there, too. Afterward, we'll explore the Billboard Hot 100. This week, the highest charting single belongs to the one and only Imagine Dragons with their song Thunder. I'm sure that's going to be an enriching and enlightening discussion. Be sure to listen to that. Afterward, we'll talk a bit more about other stuff we've been listening to and wrap up with some emails before we call it a week.
Great. I love emails.
Sounds like a plan? How about emails? They're coming in hot, Mark. The people want to know. People got questions and we got answers.
Don't touch that email. But it's email time.
Yeah. That's we'll say that whenever we get to the email segment. That's our new little like stinger.
Don't touch that email.
Don't touch that email. It's email time.
Stop touching that email.
Please.
Hey, I see your hand hovering. I see your eyes glaring over. Don't touch that email. And that's,
don't do it.
That's coming straight from the horse.
Straight from the horse. Well, straight from the horse's mouth to your ears. Let's talk about Cupcake, Mark. She's been around for a minute, but she's now finally making the headlines as quite a lot more than just the shock rapper she premiered as. Certainly still retains that mouth for profanity and just explicit lyrics, we'll say here. I had listened to this thing previously on last week's episode and gave you my high recommendation for it. You were seemingly instantly entranced by the rap powers of Miss Cupcake. I gotta know, Mark, now that you've had some time to listen to the entire thing, you've digested all the tracks, you've seen it in context, are you still as intrigued and impressed by the rapping prowess of Cupcake?
I am exhilarated. Cupcake has exhilarated me, and now I am exhausted by Cupcake.
Yeah. It's a lot to take in on an album.
Yeah. I feel like listening to this, to Etherize, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Etherize, Etherize, I don't really know.
Mm. Etherize, listening to it the full way through is a lot like seeing a movie, like a John Wick, say, where it's like you just can't believe what you're seeing for so long, and then at the like it's just so ridiculous and surprisingly cogent that by the end of it you're like, that a thing just happened, man. Something happened, especially considering she ends on such a ridiculous note.
Yeah, how does she end it?
She ends with a track that takes a lot of a Latin kind of flavored track. It's got these like Latin radio kind of beat on top of a trap beat with her just sort of, it's a very like self-empowered track. She's just talking about how good she is, and it does not fit tonally with the rest of the album at all. It's just a very absurd note, but nothing on the album tonally is completely consistent, which is something I really like about it. It's very good. I had a great time. Did you like it? I had a great time.
I really liked it. Yeah, I think it's surprising. It was something that we saw a number of outlets giving some positive press early on in this year, and we were sort of sitting around waiting for some big releases to drop, and this one kind of came out of nowhere and shocked, I think, a lot of people. I haven't gone back and listened to her other stuff yet, so I can't say how meaningful this album is in her career up until this point, but man, color me impressed, because I was not expecting an opening like 2 minutes into Cartoons, man. I still think Cartoons, I played a little bit on last week's show, that is a shotgun blast to the head. I can't remember No, I actually can remember. The last time rapping like that impressed me so much, it was Run the Jewels 2, when I discovered Run the Jewels 2 and heard Blockbuster Night Part 1 or the opening tracks on that thing. It's I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Yeah. Similarly here on Cartoons, the speed, the ferocity, the lyrics, the beat inside of it is totally cohesive, totally focused on delivering just a shotgun blast to the head. This, I think, we can say pretty safe here. This is going to be one of the best tracks, rap tracks of the year, that is. One of the standout performances. I think about some of the stuff from last year even, and this goes toe-to-toe with some of the best stuff from some top-notch artists from last year.
Yeah, I think we'll probably end up talking a lot about how the uses of profanity or just the joy in being as explicitly sexual as humanly possible as much as possible. But man, that has nothing to do. There's a certain connotation I think that comes with artists who are interested in exploring those spaces and not in an art school way. But man, Cupcake is smart. I agree with you. Cartoons. It has this, it's like a gimmick that she's just describing cartoons that she's like, comparing herself favorably to cartoons like Johnny Bravo, which last week when you played that blew my mind. I hadn't thought about Johnny Bravo.
It blew your mind.
In a good minute, but her delivery is unbelievable. Like, her delivery is so solid. And do you know anything about Cupcake? Did you do any backtracking on this lady? I know you didn't listen to the albums, but did you Google her?
No.
She's 20.
Yeah.
She's 20 years old. I'm going to do the Charlie thing. She's 20.
Do
and
the
she
Lord
has,
thing.
Yes. Like, how... There's so much, such a worldly, like, for as fun and ridiculous and occasionally super dumb as this album is, there's like a worldliness to it. There's a sense of surviving against the odds and enjoying life in spite of what the world around you tells you what to like and what not to like. It's something else, man. This is a really strong album.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I totally expanded the conversation away from cartoons again, but I have not been this surprised by an album in a long time.
Yeah. Don't be sleeping on this one, gang.
Yeah.
Don't think that just because it's some rapper who's made a name for herself by focusing on gross-out lyrics that this is not just impressive the whole way through. Just funny lyrics, man. Great stuff in cartoons. She says, hella times when I'm making rhymes and make these guys look stupid. A lot of MFers full of crap, so you know they walk around pooping. I've been dropping friends like left and right. To be honest, none of it hurt me. She just is whipping through this thing crazy fast.
Yeah.
The chorus to it is, if I see carrots, that's C-A-R-A-T-S, like Bugs Bunny. I'm Batman, robbing for the money. Strip her, bare feet like the Flintstones. Make a Tom and Jerry whole way home. I am a snack, so I track Scooby-Doos. Give them Smurf penis. That's balls blue. I don't look for guys, so F Waldo. I am cocky like Johnny Bravo. And I just removed all essence of personality and energy out of that thing. Let's just go to the source, Mark. Let's play it from her herself, huh? Carrots like Buzz Bunny, I'm Batman, robbing for the money. Strip a bare feet like the Flintstones, make a Tom and Jerry her way home. I'm a snack, so I track Scooby-Doos, give them Smurf dick, that's balls blue. I don't look for niggas, so fuck Waldo. Bitch, I'm cocky like Johnny Bravo. Bacos, we came by. Put the clock in you like a tampon. And granted, she does repeat the chorus, but this is 2.5 minutes of totally unique lines, totally clever, hilarious, insightful lyrics, a banging beat. This is really something transcendent here. She's come down from the heavens to give us this track.
Yeah, and a ton of credit to the producer named Turek, who produces only a few songs on this. He or she only produced Cartoons, Self-Interview, and Meet and Greet. But I feel like all of those tracks stand out. I feel like this is such an interesting, combative beat.
Yeah.
That It's like a, it's a perfect storm of good stuff, Charlie. I'll tell you what.
She's like Killer Mike on this thing. It's like some Run the Jewels level stuff.
Yeah, where it's like, it's just happening so fast that you can't keep up with how smart it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so aggressive and so in your face. I love it.
True. True that. True that.
I mentioned that Duck Duck Goose is another one of my favorites. More of a traditional kind of club banger beat, a little bit slower, and certainly explicit language wise. But let's play a little bit of that one again. Using your phone, taking up your data. My cakes got fatter, bad use it, come as a batter. Look down to your dick and tell them I won't disappoint it. Pussy on punishment if she miss a dick appointment. Sloppy toppy for Poppy League, sloppy Joe Shook. I only call you captain because your dick is off the hook. Pretty great.
That's pretty great. It's also such a, like, distinctly, this feels gross to say, like, distinctly millennial statement of work. Like, yeah. I feel like utilizing nostalgia and cartoons that early in your life and flipping it to be about your adult life is a very... now kind
millennial
of thing.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the word millennial is almost more a word for like corporate people and angry old people than it is for millennials even?
I feel like we got to take it back. We got to own that word.
Okay. I will be as hard into the millennial angle as I can today.
Yeah. Positive.
Yeah.
Posi millennial vibes. Again, 2018, the year of no bummers.
That is the most millennial sentence in history.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think Duck Duck Goose pairs really well with one of the funniest songs I've heard ever. It's a little track called Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and it is unbelievable.
I love that she opens up with that. I was hungry as hell when I wrote this.
So good. Oh, man. And it's barely like, I understand it as a metaphor, but it's so clearly just interested in talking about cereal. It's,
yeah,
it's something else, man.
You love the insane stuff, and Cupcake's got a whole lot of insane stuff on this thing.
Yeah, like, not for nothing, but, like, if you're listening to this blind, it begins with 2 minutes, which is a very straight-ahead song about poverty and like, very... earnest, very real. It's a good track. I take some issues with the production maybe, but it comes across as a somber, well-versed song that is totally in line with all other rap music, and then is followed up by cartoons, which is insane. Duck Duck Goose, yeah, which is insane. Wisdom Teeth, which there's a lot happening there. An LGBT power anthem, and a song about crayons. Cereal. It's like, it's wild.
Whoa.
Yeah, I did that a lot. Listen to this thing. I said out loud, what? A lot of times.
I think, yeah, again, I can't speak for her career. I haven't been there since the get-go. I'm newly introduced to Cupcake, but it feels to me like opening up with a song like 2 minutes, while it may not have the staying power of some other songs on this thing because it isn't so wild and crazy,
yeah,
there's something, I think, in the song thematically that resonates with her wanting to be taken seriously as an artist, as someone that's more than just a meme or a creator of goofy songs that are just pure fun. You know, she's a serious artist that is challenging...
yeah,
expectations, that's challenging what we expect out of the genre. She's working her butt off to make a name for herself here.
Totally. And she's crazy prolific, apparently. Like, I've not heard hide nor hair of this person until Pitchfork actually gave her that review. But she released a mixtape and a full album, from what I remember when I Googled her, because I was like, who is this person? In 2016, which would make her 18.
Wow.
And then released 2 full albums last year. It's... she might be the most prolific rap artist that's like in major publications, covered by major publications.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I listened to some of the first full album just as reference. And you can hear I don't want to say it's shoddier, but it's definitely a lower production value.
Yeah.
But all the seeds are there. Like, it's, you look at the album art, it looks like just a photo and some a bad font, but like,
right.
She was that. It was. It's good though. Like you can feel where that's going to grow from. I just kind of blown away that an artist has managed to produce this much music and have it be this consistently good and surprising in so little time.
Yeah. Are there other moments aside from the insanity of Cinnamon Toast Crunch that you were drawn to?
Yeah, totally. I like Post Pick a lot. I think it's got a really good beat. I think it's, there's a few songs on here that are essentially about sexual dominance. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the better ones. Song about how she posts nudes on Instagram and all the other women in the world are checking their partner's likes to figure out what they're actually into. I like Wisdom Teeth, which is kind of, it's a cheesier track, but I like it. I like it fine.
Yeah, I think Wisdom Teeth works really well for me. Sort of an Asian inspired beat there. And maybe the chorus is kind of simple and basic, but again, I like the aggressiveness of this track. I like the lyrics of it. It's solid work.
Yeah, and it's a little like culturally weird that like Asians, you know, the wise ones, I'll use their flutes to come make this point. But I'm almost willing to overlook that because the fact that you're listening to like Asian pan flutes right after the track Duck Duck Goose is amazing.
Yeah. All of the songs are united in their insanity, but there's no overriding insane like sound that unites all the songs together.
Totally.
And then going into Crayons, you get that kind of like horn sound. That it's wild. It's a wild ride.
I like Crayons a lot. I do feel like, though, most of these tracks are produced by Def Stars, and I feel like Def Stars occasionally leans too much into, like, rap trends. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the track Exit a lot. Well, that's probably not even the right track I'm thinking of. I just feel like some of Def Stars' tracks have that sort of, like, EDM, like, female vocal, kind of, like, heavily auto-tune vocals. I have no way of describing this other than just playing a clip, so I'm just gonna find a clip.
Okay.
But you'll know what I'm talking about when I play it. That kind of thing?
Yeah.
It just feels... Sometimes it just feels very... For an album that's very unpredictable, sometimes the beats lean into some pretty predictable tropes, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that's on Exit, right?
Yeah.
I think the same is true of some other tracks like Naval and Total.
I think
it's sort of like the middle section of this sags maybe a tad for me. Certainly for me, nothing matches that blast of Cartoons and Duck Duck Goose early on. It's enjoyable the whole way through. But I do notice a bit of a sag in that middle. Getting back to Crayons very quickly, some lyrics that maybe don't work for me as much in here. Again, like the message of the song a whole lot. I like the ideas it's reinforcing. But it does feel maybe a bit forced in places. Like when she says in the bridge, transgenders are people, so I'm going to treat them equal. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bit rough to just call them all transgenders. I don't know.
Yeah, I think trans rights is a subject that is almost not at all tackled in rap music.
Sure.
Put in context is actually kind of incredible. When I heard that, I was like, wow, that's great. I don't think I've heard this in a rap song before. I don't think anyone is really digging into it. At least in the major artist level. Mm-hmm. So I do agree that, I don't know. I don't think we've even finished like culturally defining what the correct term for trans people are other than just trans people. And that's, I guess, hard to fit in, like, into a meter, like, to a workable meter, but...
Transgenders are people.
It does sound like she's 70 years old.
Yeah. But I think, you know, hey, again, give her praise, give her props for mentioning that in the song. I think it's still tough to figure out how it fits in correctly. Because, yeah. Like you said, as a society, we haven't really come to a common understanding of how to talk about that stuff yet.
Yeah.
Still a touchy topic.
Right. So as long as it's respectful, it's fine.
Sure. And I think this is an extremely respectful track.
It's a very respectful track. I respect it. Do you respect it?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Like who you like, Mark.
Yeah. Boy on boy, girl on girl.
That's it.
That is it. I agree with you. Some of these tracks are just kind of normal trap tracks. I think if this album was all tracks like Total or Naval, I would still like it.
Yeah.
But
just wouldn't be as strong.
Yeah, they've something about what a variety of sounds there are in the rest of the album. It almost makes them stick out. Like, it almost feels like you have to, if you're going to be that innovative that quickly, like, you almost need to keep pace or else the stopgaps are going to be noticeable. I mean, this thing is a pretty healthy, like, 48-minute long experience. So there's almost an argument to be made just not having those tracks in there at all, I think. But
right.
Other than that, I have very few.
And, I mean, she's still 20, too. I mean, she's still young. She's figuring it out. She's trying to understand how to combine her personal stylings with what's popular right now. And sometimes that means dropping a couple tracks that are more just immediately accessible to the mainstream audience. I don't know. It's a balancing act. It's tough to manage. She gives me a ton of hope, though. Just like Lorde, you know, I'm like, yes, the younger generation is rising to the occasion. They're not content to just do the Post Malone 21 Savage stuff here. They're actually reaching in, challenging themselves lyrically, presenting some songs that are not just about getting money. There's a lot of complexity to these lyrics, or sometimes there's none at all, and it's just about cereal.
That's great.
But it's a banger. It's great.
Why
don't
we write songs?
It's the creative energy we need.
Why don't we write songs about cereal?
Yeah. I was hungry as hell when I wrote this.
It's like that Magnetic Field song from last year, Be True to Your Bar, where he says, you know, so much of art happens in cafes and bars, and we never make art about them. Why not?
Yeah.
Probably because it's boring.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Where do you stand on a track like Spoiled Milk Titties?
You know, it's necessary moment of insanity.
It's definitely insane.
Yep. Did that something stick out of that track for you?
No, I think it's where she's most explicit. If there was one song that, like, you definitely don't want to play with your grandma in the room, this is the one, probably.
But Cinnamon Toast Crunch, my grandma would be in the back. Hell yeah!
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I love that cereal.
That's my favorite. I like Life, too.
At one point on the song Spoiled Milk Titties, she refers to her vagina as an upside-down Dorito.
I won't let I didn't catch that.
What is the right way to put a Dorito? How do you know when it's upside down?
Can a Dorito be upside down?
Apparently it can, because she says that's what it looks like, an upside-down Dorito.
But it's like a triangle.
Right. So, which way does it go? Is it, like, pointy side up or pointy side down?
Yeah, it's got me actually kind of wondering actively about her body.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Does it taste like a Dorito?
See,
Cool Ranch,
I feel like she's
or
making...
nacho cheese?
I hope it doesn't taste like Cool Ranch.
Oh, I hope it doesn't taste like nacho cheese.
If you had to pick, I would go with the jalapeno cheddar.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's I kind of like that Cupcake has, like, I listened to that track and I'm like, whoa! But, like, I like that Cupcake was able to produce that reaction to me, because let's face it, there's, like, not a ton of spaces that haven't been fully explored yet in music. I feel like just about every personal, you know, body related thing has been talked about ad nauseum. There's not that many new and shocking things to say. There's not a lot of ways to make a listener go like, whoa, that was crazy. That person said that on an album. But she did that. That's kind of cool in and of itself.
For sure.
Calling a track Spoiled Muck Titties is ridiculous.
Yeah. There's another line on the self-interview track where she mentions that most people would probably just skip this song because it's not about sex or killing. A moment where she acknowledges the kind of people that her fans and listeners are and maybe being upset that she doesn't get the respect and the credit that she deserves. And I give her a lot of praise for putting that kind of thought on this album. Again, she's raging against the labels that others are putting on her as being someone that solely does this stuff, and she's trying out new sounds and trying to impress in new ways.
Yeah, and I think she extends that thought to the world around her as well. Like, I don't think it's it is, at least for me, I didn't read the track as like just a why don't I get enough credit track.
Yeah.
Could you play a clip of that though for me?
Of course. Here's a little bit from Self Interview.
Myself. Am I staying true to me? I just wanna know. Females have sex on the first night, they get called a hoe for that one night stand.
Check this out.
Men have sex on the first night. Congratulations, you gotta route her bands. Most wouldn't comprehend.
I feel like that clip is a pretty perfect encapsulation of what I mean by leaning into rap and trap trends occasionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a good version of a very familiar thing. I feel like we're reaching the trap threshold where things are going to have to change pretty rapidly or it's going to all fizzle out.
Yeah.
I like that track because she elevates it. She makes it better than its beat. But there are moments like that where I kind of am like, I don't really know if I'm going to listen to this super much after I'm done with this album.
Yeah. Maybe it is an album that's got a lot of really strong highlights and some stuff that's enjoyable but not super replayable. I don't know. It'll have to wait and see how it stays in my mind over the course of the year. I can see myself banging Crayons and Duck Duck Goose till the day I die, but...
That's a confusing sentence.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. It's really good. I think it deserves a lot of credit for... You know, we're talking a lot about getting more black female rappers up in the scene, and here you go. Here is prime candidate number one. More stuff like this. You know, I think you and I have both been lukewarm on Cardi B thus far. I think Cupcake here gives Cardi B a run for her money. Certainly lyrically.
She's much better than Cardi B.
She's got the lyrics over her for sure. Maybe doesn't have the production or the money that Cardi does, but, you know, in time we'll see what changes. For me, I think I'm going to take four highlights off this thing. I'm going to take four big ones. I'll take Cinnamon Toast Crunch because it is insane. And I'll take Wisdom Teeth. But I think they're maybe a tier lower than Cartoons and Duck Duck Goose, which I love them both. I think Cartoons is the front runner for me here. That's a gold star rap song. Like I said, maybe one of the best I've heard in some time.
Yeah, totally. Good choices.
Thank you.
I'm going to pick a few different ones, though. I'm going to take Cartoons, because that's a great track. I'm going to take Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because that is hilarious. I'm going to take Post Pick, because I feel like, of all the, like, this is sex tracks, Post Pick is personally my favorite. It is the one that is the most unusual, interesting, and I think the beat is good, and a little bit innovative, even. And lastly, this is kind of an odd choice, probably, but I'm going to take the final track, Fullest, because... Yeah. That was a wow moment for me, where at the end of the song, I was like, I can't believe all the stuff I heard, and I can't believe I somehow ended up at a Latin radio trap song. This is crazy.
Let's play a little bit of that one. That's a good one.
Walking, we can't talk, you know. These bitches.
bitches washed up, dove soap. They wash. Cock his own fist, call it bro. Rub, yeah. Poking out my ass just to make these bitches mad. My bad, cut nigga like a toe.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's something else. So yeah, 4 for me as well.
Great album. Lots of fun.
Great job. Great album.
Don't sleep on this one, fam.
Or I will come for you. I'm the horse.
All right, that's Cupcake. That's FRI's. It's a great one. Check it out. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to jam to some Imagine Dragons. So stay tuned. All right, we are back and ready to get into the latest Billboard single. This week, it's Imagine Dragons with their song Thunder. Mark, we just can't get rid of Imagine Dragons. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we plead and beg, we can't escape the dragons.
I am at a point where, like, the name Imagine Dragons, I'm starting to realize, is one of the worst names any band has been called.
Well, Thunder released worldwide on the 27th of April, 2017. It is the second single released from the third album, Evolve, following Believer, which we discussed last year on the show. Thunder is about not conforming to society's standards, Mark. Dan is singing about being told what to do as a child and that he can't follow his dreams. In the second verse, he says that he overcame everyone that told him what to do and achieved his dreams of being on stage. I feel like that was what happened in the last song, too.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a bunch of corporate BS.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah, don't you remember that? I was broken from a young age. Right?
Yeah.
But they never did. Never did. Never did. Never did. Never did. Never did.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize they were here with us.
Oh, I hate it. The good news is it's only 3 minutes long.
Then this will go down quick.
Nope.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, thunder.
Oh, man. That's ripe. I can smell it from over here, Mark. Woo!
I feel like... do we have the vocalist's name in front of us? Do you know his name?
Dan something.
Dan Quayle?
Yeah, let's call him Dan Quayle.
I feel like Dan Quayle... Oh, this makes this, what I'm about to say better. I feel like Dan Quayle came in, like... stoned out of his gourd into the recording studio and read from his poetry notebook.
I was a lightning and then the thunder. His name's Dan Reynolds.
Oh, Mark. Sorry.
And lead guitarist Wayne Sermon.
That's a name.
Yeah, why aren't they called Wayne Sermon? That's a better band name than Imagine Dragons.
I think a guy with the name Wayne Sermon belongs in a band called Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. We got some heavy annotations here for the first line. A simple description of what he wants is shown here through a metaphor, a young gun with a quick fuse. This represents a hungry and eager person, ready to take on the world and follow their own path. It seems as if the person is not comfortable with their current situation, which can be shown through the lyrics, "Want to Leave My Old Life Behind." Also, towards the beginning of their career, Imagine Dragons released a song titled Uptight. There's a line in Uptight which says, "I get so uptight." Whereas in Thunder, which was released 8 years later, he says, "I was uptight." Therefore, showing all of the anger and anxiousness he previously felt all those years ago has now disappeared. He has grown up and been able to let loose and move on.
Let loose is in quotes.
It is in
quotes. I understand he's quoting the song, but it makes it sound like this person is like, just so you know, it's slang. That line and that annotation remind me of all those great comedies where it's like there's like Arrested Development, where there's like a hidden running joke throughout the whole series. If you look closely, you know, it the little brother's hand or whatever. Like, this is pretty much on that level of, here is an epic across a career. This is Radiohead level coded messaging.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, in high school when they would assign you to, like, identify the poetry terms in your favorite song. And some high school kid who's, like, really into Imagine Dragons is like, there's a metaphor in here. Here's what the metaphor means.
That's...
And it's a good kid, but he has, like, bad taste in music, so he's kind of, like, you know, he's misguided.
Well, that's adorable. That's cute for a kid to feel that way.
Have a seat in the foyer, take a number. This lyric most likely could also be describing how people are told to sit and wait by taking a number and waiting for their turn. To take a number is to accept that you have to wait and that you're conforming to the rules set in front of you. It could also mean the primary objective of a ticket dispenser in some areas of work. You physically take a number and wait in the space provided. That's a robot. A robot wrote that, Mark. A robot trying to pass himself off as a human being, explaining how ticket taking works.
That's amazing.
Taylor underneath says, I doubt it's specifically talking about going to the principal's office. Taking a number is a common practice. It's just meant to show that he was told to wait his turn.
No.
Again, more evidence that's a high school student writing these annotations.
I have to disagree. This song was, Dan Quayle was inspired to write the song during a trip to the DMV. If my rock trivia serves.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this because I don't want to put in the effort, but I would love to hear him say the words behind and thunder a few more times before the auto-tune stuff kicks in. Because
there's a lot of auto-tune going on here.
Yeah. Behind. That's Imagine Dragons. That's...
Lightning here symbolizes a young and immature person, one who has not yet reached the final climax in achieving their dreams. On the other end, there is thunder, which is what the person later becomes. This can be compared to Dan's life before Imagine Dragons. First off, he was just an ordinary kid, like many, filled with ambitions and dreams. Finally, one day, he achieves his supposed dream, becoming successful in the music industry and doing what he loves. In essence, this line in the song takes a moment to reflect and look back at what he was before the thunder. Lightning. However, lightning can also mean someone who already has the talent and necessities to have a successful career, whilst thunder is the breakout moment that is the turning point for the person.
Right, but lightning causes thunder.
Mason annotates this annotation is too long. The second half of your paragraph is correct. The first part just overcomplicates it. He was a genius from a young age who didn't fit the mold. He was a lightning strike that refused to do what he was told, and his fame today is the resulting thunder. And now he's bragging about it. The song itself is kind of meant to sound cocky, as in, haha, showed you guys, that's what's up.
I hate the tone that person has chosen to take in this very intellectual discussion, but I agree with their message. How do you feel about Imagine Dragons' relationship with rap boasting?
I hate everything about it.
Did you even hate that sentence that I said just now? Did you hate that too?
Yeah, all of it. Burn it all down.
Okay.
Say goodnight. We gotta push on.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder. Feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, 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 thunder. Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are?
Oh, man. I want to ask him the same question. Who do you think you are?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not convinced of the quality of the track now that we're at verse two.
That was a lot of them just saying thunder, feel the thunder, lightning, and then the thunder. These guys suck.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, man. What do they call these? Is this indie rock these days? No, it's not indie rock. It's alternative rock. What are these guys?
They're the result of like a boardroom meeting, dude. Like, it's as if every element of this track is like, okay, where is the trend for every genre in pop music right now? Put them all in this one song about a kid who is scheming in class.
It's an American rock band. That's all it says on their Wikipedia page. Although they are classified as indie rock in the genre portion of their page.
But like,
they know what indie means?
No, that's that. I mean, I understand that term is broken everywhere, but this is particularly hilarious. God. I mean, even the concept of indie labels, like recording companies, is confusing, but I don't know. Like, this is such an obvious trite metaphor that it takes a lot of earnest powerhouse like lyric writing to pull off writing your song around the idea that you're thunder. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he was lightning and then the thunder.
Excuse me. He's producing thunder.
Mm-hmm.
He is. This song has electrocuted America's youth, and now they are brainwashed because of his scheming.
The line, kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. The kids in his class laughed and made fun of him for not fitting in or being traditional.
You idiot!
The theme of verse 2 is essentially, you all doubted me and made fun of me, and look at me now. Underneath that, Nathaniel Whittingham, 99, says, I always thought this was a school shooting reference or something, lol. Well, I was scheming for the masses.
Was he the Riddler?
Was planning I was going to execute all of my classmates.
Oh my god.
LOL.
Wow.
I love how the theme of the song is don't be traditional, don't be like anyone else, but this sounds more like an amalgamation of everything else we've ever heard than anything we've ever heard.
Yeah, dude, that's like what sickens me about this stuff. I understand I'm annoying about it, but all of these songs are always wrapped around the message of individuality or fighting against some like wave of negativity, some vague like
wave of mutilation.
Yeah, fighting like all of these songs are covers of Wave of Mutilation by the Pixies, and I'm sick of it.
Great tune.
It is a great song. I like that song a lot.
But it's like, you know, hey, I'm a teenager. I'm going to be my own individual person by dressing and behaving like every other teenager I know, but really I'm my own person inside. You just can't tell on the outside.
That's how the company Hot Topic was founded. Like, exactly. That's, yeah.
Be your own individual person by wearing the same crap as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. I associate with different brands than you. I'm an independent thinker.
Mm.
Actually, as I'm saying this, I'm wearing a very large shirt that is just the Cheez-It logo, so I guess I can't really talk.
Corporate chill!
For Big Cheese.
That last clip couldn't have ended at a better spot, but we got a bit more to hear, so let's press on.
Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy. You're always riding in the backseat. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you were clapping.
It's so dumb.
I do like the utilization of a car door slamming in the production, though. That's pretty neat.
Was that what that was? That do do do.
No, it just sounds. It sounds dumb enough that it could be that, I guess. You know, whenever I'm picturing the power of thunder, like the elements raining hell upon the earth.
Yeah.
I don't think about someone closing the door on their like their
Hyundai.
Yeah.
Hyundai. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you're clapping in the nosebleeds. The people from his school who doubted he would get anywhere are now fans of his, showing up to his shows. This line is a big, quote, suck it to anyone who doubted his musical ability. In the nosebleeds is referring to the fact that the people doubting him eventually attended his own concert. He made it and is performing on stage whilst they're having to watch from afar. Also, nosebleed tickets are usually the cheapest tickets at an event. So this would imply that those people who previously doubted him are
broke poor.
and couldn't afford closer seats. Nosebleed seats are a common reference to seats in the highest tier of a stadium. They're usually known as nosebleeds, as the seats are so high up that you would get a nosebleed from the high altitude.
Wow. I do like the fun implication that not only have the students around him, the people who made fun of him during his schemes, his Riddler schemes, while he was putting trophies all around the asylum for Batman to find, while they were laughing at him for doing that, they didn't really succeed in life. They haven't found their way yet, and he's shaming them for being poor. It's just a fun little, extra note on top of the slam, you know?
Yeah. How do you think this song is performed live? Do you think they just come out, press the button on the tape cassette and just like dance around to it while it plays? I can't hear any instrumentation taking place. It's just,
that's what's interesting though, because that's unusual for a rock band, but
right.
I was watching a live performance by Run the Jewels recently, and that, you know, they got a DJ just kind of throws on the track and they rap over it. Like,
well, I mean, that's different. Well, if you're calling yourself a rock band, then I expect you to be playing as a rock band.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad.
You know, you got to play your guitar, you got to play your bass, you got to play your drum set, and you got to have your microphone. Four people playing on expert.
Right.
Green, red, yellow, blue, orange. That's the drill. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't handle the expert level, I don't want you on a stage.
I agree with you. I mean, I feel like too much of today's youth plays on Medium. Everyone knows that there's a big learning curve between medium and hard, but you got to cross it if you want to impress me. Yeah,
you got to use that orange button. It's there for
use all five buttons.
Not my rock band.
I'm with rock band.
Thunder, feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder.
It's the worst bridge I've ever heard in my life. That was just some warbling into a microphone over an auto-tune.
That guy's stoned. Dan, did you come to record high? No, just check this out. Dan.
I'm doing that Radiohead stuff, guys. Look at me. I'm Radiohead. Sorry, Tom York.
I think there's an interest. I don't know. Like, wherever their career is at, I think this song is like, this moment in particular, this confused, jumbled mass of like a half-written song is kind of where all music is, right? Like, isn't Imagine Dragons basically the reflection on what's on the radio right now?
I would think so, yeah.
Like this black hole of barely constructed ideas based on trends that were cool like 10 years ago that have now reached the masses. It's just kind of, it's kind of lame.
It's a black hole with a single ray of rainbow light descending and picking up us from the abyss, saving us. We are Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, man. It's funny. I don't think, like, think about where Imagine Dragons' career started. And they like to make themselves out to be weird, but they're actually very palatable. They're very, extremely accessible. There's nothing weird about their music at all. It's just how they like to present as a sort of a marketing thing. Well, I mean, they might be being genuine about it, but that is ultimately how it, that's where that ends.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think it would be hard to argue that if music hadn't trended in the EDM direction that it has, like objectively where it is now, Imagine Dragons would never have written this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Imagine Dragons there's no creative intent where like, I think we could really push the sound forward. Yeah. Like, it would be hard to argue that, right? Like, this is the end result of where radio was gone.
What's your goal as a band? To make money?
Mm-hmm.
To shamelessly take money from teenagers, to slap our faces on some big old posters and ship some merch.
Oh, gotta ship that merch.
Gotta ship that merch, Mark.
You know, whatever 14-year-old is feeling picked up by this, that's fine. But I don't like it.
This might be worse than Believer.
Honestly, disagree.
I'd have to go back and listen to Believer again. No, at least Believer was a fully fleshed out idea. This feels like some slapped together sample that they found.
Feels like that Kid Cudi rock record that he made a few years ago.
Thunder.
Well, wait, check it out. Wait, guys. If you push this slider up, my voice does this fun thing.
Thunder.
And then they made $3 billion.
Oh, man.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder.
I don't have anything else. I have nothing else to say.
How about let's both try to find one positive thing about the song? Nothing. You got nothing?
I liked that line that says, "Who do you think you are?" And the way that it ended there, because it made me laugh a lot.
That did end on the perfect note.
Who do you think you are?
Cut.
That's it. We nailed it, guys. Good job.
I like that this song has produced the mental image for me of Dan Quayle
slamming his car door,
like way effed up on something. No one is sure what.
He's effed up on some thunder. What's that, Dan? It's thunder. I am lightning. Here's the thunder.
It's something that he is convincing you is like some like mysterious hard drug, but is really medicinal marijuana. And is slamming like a car door. Go ahead.
He was a helium balloon that he keeps sucking on.
He's getting thunder! Smashed.
Thunder!
So, Imagine Dragons, how did you come up with such an innovative rock track such as this? Well,
I was blitzing on helium. Thunder.
I got blitz. Thunder.
This song is 3 minutes, and it has an over-minute-long outro. That's how bare bones this song is. It's barely begun before they're like, all right, let's wrap this thing up and let it go for a minute.
Yeah. The intent is clearly to overwhelm you with a wall of sound, but, like, there's something so undercutting about this, like, cheeky repeated line. This thunder? That's totally takes away from that moment.
Thunder? That sounds like a lady's voice in there, didn't it? Thunder? Thunder. Now we got some nice thunder sound effects in the background. Some literal thunder. Isn't that clever, yeah. Mark, the way they did that?
Sure.
Sure.
This, you know what this reminds me of?
Hmm.
If MIA was terrible.
Oh, that's a good comparison. Yeah.
I, for some reason, found myself listening to a lot of Paper Planes last night.
It's a great song. That's a song of a generation.
Totally. It's a really good song, and sometimes you need to play badly at Battlegrounds to Paper Planes.
Yeah. Let's break down that song. That's a great one.
Yeah, let's revisit. Let's stop doing this thing that we do where we torture ourselves each week.
We got 7 more seconds to go, Mark. Okay, there's the end of the thunder.
What if Kendrick Lamar released that track exactly as it is, but with him on the vocals?
It's thunder. It's the thunder. Yeah. Lightning and the thunder.
I've been like fantasizing recently about one of our like most prominent, like of our generation, like one of our greatest artists releasing just the worst turd in the world. Like what that would be like to just someone that like every year, like I can't wait to see what this person has to say. And they just come out with thunder. That would be so amazing.
I disagree.
What if they released their greatest album alongside it?
It would not be worth it. Nothing would be worth this.
He sure showed those kids, though, who grew up to not have good jobs. So, there's that.
You know, Dan Reynolds is from Las Vegas.
Of course I knew that. Everyone knows that.
Did you know he's an Eagle Scout?
Yes.
Did you know he's a Mormon?
Actually, I think I did know that.
Wayne Sermon once told him, don't do music because you want to do music. Do music if you have to do music.
That's stupid and bad.
You don't have to do this, Imagine Dragons. You could stop whenever you want.
I hate that. Do you feel like there is a gatekeeping quality with creative people where it's like if you don't have the drive to like commit your whole life to one thing, it's not worth doing. Like as if no good art has ever been produced by like a playful interaction with it.
Or like a part-time artist. I'm just doing this in the meantime.
Yeah, totally. Like,
yeah.
There's so many great writers of just like, as like to try as a hobby, have written great things.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And all the people who say that are always the people who say all the same bad advice. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just a way to make yourself feel like you're more artsy than you are. Honestly.
You're more artsy than you actually are.
I can't talk today at all.
It's okay. Are you taking this on your playlist, Mark? Are you taking it as one of the best tracks of 2017?
It's okay.
I'm going to give it a hard pass. Gets the buzzer from me. No thanks.
I think Believer's worse, but I think this is pretty
bad. I don't
bad.
Know. It's a close race. It's a tight race for badness.
Believer was like a carnival run by Insane Clown Posse people, but they played radio-friendly music at it.
Oh, that sounds awful.
That's how it makes me feel. Not how it sounds, how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Dung, 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 dung.
Never deliver, 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 deliver. Ah, happy, happy, baby, oh, believer. Believer.
Why does he always sound like he's in like a centrifuge machine, like he's being dragged around.
He's being forced against the wall to extreme G forces.
Yeah.
He's radioactive, Mark. That's the secret. He's always been radioactive.
I think if you took the mixing out of the track, you would hear him begin and end at a different point in the room.
Yeah.
It'd be like, take me off of shit.
He's just running around in the booth.
Yeah. In circles.
He can't be controlled. He can't be contained.
He had to do this. He's an artist.
He had no choice.
Wait, I have to do this now.
Boof. All right, that's enough of that, Mark. Tell me what else you've been listening to this week. Did you finish that book you were talking about last week on the show?
I did.
Yeah?
I got two things.
Okay.
I got that book.
That book.
And I actually did some work. So it's Meet Me in the Bathroom by Lizzie Goodman. In case you didn't listen last week, it's a oral history of the rock revival that happened in New York City in 2001 to 2011. Basically, she ends the entire book like this movement ended at that LCD Sound System Madison Square Garden concert.
Cool.
It's an oral history. It's all quotes. I did some work this week by preparing all the quotes like at the exact time frame that I would need.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. So, are you down to listen to some quotes about some interesting stuff? So, this is about the bar that James Murphy and a lot of the Death From Above label people sort of trained at and did a lot of living at.
Okay.
And what went on upstairs was even wilder. Originally, the bar had this huge mirror down the side of it. Our living room was a dungeon, so I took the mirror upstairs. For a while it was up on my wall, but of course eventually someone said, "Let's take it off the wall to do lines." Before we were doing them off a plate, a white plate, which made no sense. Tim Goldsworthy. Darren Aronofsky would turn up at Plant Bar with a wife beater on, leaning on the bar. "Hey guys, what are you drinking?" He's such a tosser. He really reminds me of the super nerdy Dungeons and Dragons kid who really wants to be cool. Dominique Keegan. Film people are annoying.
I just like the idea of Darren
Aronofsky's
like a... Hey guys,
what are you drinking? Have you guys seen Black Swan? It's my favorite. It's really good.
I went to film school briefly, and everybody was like that.
Yeah.
Like that guy.
You went to film school briefly?
Yeah.
Did I not know this about you?
Well, I didn't go for film studies, but I went to a school that had a prolific film course.
Was Darren Aronofsky there?
He's there every day. He was always asking what we were drinking.
Hey, guys, have you seen Mother?
I put exclamation mark.
It's style.
Mother!
You know, it's the Bible.
All right.
You get it?
Oh, whoops. Okay. Next clip.
Next clip.
So, just for context, Albert Hammond Jr. is the lead guitarist of the Strokes. This is him talking about his own band.
Remember when I knew. I remember it so clearly, even though we were still so tiny. It was snowy, and we were playing Luna Lounge. There were 40 people, but it felt good. It was a good 40. We played Modern Age and Last Night for the first time. After that show, it was like, yeah, we're better than the other people who are playing. I don't even say that to be mean. You just felt the energy when we were playing those songs, like, I wish I was seeing it and not playing it.
A lot of good quotes that make the Strokes look like totally full of themselves in this book.
Yeah.
And I think one of them, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that like one of them was upset about the book, how they were portrayed in it, but it's just their quotes.
Yeah.
So
tough beans.
Yeah. Tough beans for you, my friend. All right. Another quote.
James Murphy. Have you ever seen our business cards? There's no information on them. Just two hands shaking, and then it says, "Fuck off, you cunt." There's no phone number, no email address, no website. The lightning bolt was a doodle. We made the art and took pictures. Everything was handmade. It's personal. What I always wanted, the ultimate goal, was if the 14-year-old me found DFA, he'd be like, "This is crazy."
What do you think of that? I don't know how to like cap these quotes.
How about that? How about that thing James Murphy said? Daft Punk is playing at his house, am I right?
Oh, man. There's a great quote from like the producer he worked with to found the record label who left because he thought Daft Punk was playing at my house was too like radio-friendly.
Dumb.
Yeah. Which is kind of hilarious.
Tyler Brody. An ex-girlfriend of mine brought Pharrell Williams to this show at Tribeca Grand, and James met Pharrell. That's when he was like, "I'm losing my edge to this kid." He was like, "This guy knows what's up. I'd better get my shit together."
Pharrell Williams was the cause of losing my edge.
"I'm losing my edge to this guy. Whoa, I gotta write a song."
How wild is that?
That's pretty cool. Pharrell was producing all the good stuff, even indirectly.
Yeah. Although now he's just a voice. Is he still a host on The Voice?
I have no idea. I don't keep up with it.
I feel like when you're an artist and you go to The Voice, you just turn awful and just everything sucks.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus, I feel like her career just stopped. It's just over.
Well, I don't know that she was not sucking before The Voice.
Yeah, she's got some good singles at least that were like part of the cultural conversation though. But then she did the 60s revival thing and it sucks.
Ever since you started hanging out with Wayne Coyne, things went south.
Yeah, I don't
know. I love that guy, but he's a bad influence on her.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't know how earnest you're being about that, but, like, she can be naked on her album cover. She can do whatever she wants, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's still bad music, though. You gotta make good music.
It is bad music. That's true. And what's upsetting is Flaming Lips are doing okay at best recently. So yeah. It's like,
they're also
what happened? Like, who influenced who?
Yeah, good question.
To be worse.
Chris Taylor. When I first moved to Brooklyn, Chris Bear, who plays drums in our band, moved into the same loft as me. We built it together. We were in this band, and at that age, when you really have the energy and ambition to do all of this, there's just things that you don't care about that allow you to be free and experimental and take big risks.
There's a running through line in this book about how Brooklyn was cheap, how a lot of kids who were had, you know, well-off parents could afford to live in a poor neighborhood and gentrify it. And there's a lot of big questions in the book sort of raised about that. So I just kind of wanted to include that clip.
Yeah, you talked about that last week with, like, James Murphy being partially responsible for all that stuff.
Yeah, him and everyone around him.
Right, right.
Because LCD Sound System never truly broke that big, but
yeah,
for sure.
Pelle Almqvist. I realized something very important. A musical movement is a style of pants. Think about it. San Francisco, 1967. You know what pants that is. New York, 1977. You know what pants that is. Disco? You know the pants? There were baggy pants and ripped jeans in the 90s. Nirvana had them. Soundgarden had them. And Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, they all had the same pants. They don't really sound that much alike, but they had the same pants, so obviously it's a musical movement. Then there was Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park. They had the same pants. It was obviously a musical movement. And obviously a musical movement. And then we had the Strokes, the White Stripes, and us with tight pants. It's a musical movement.
What do you think about
that? It's a musical movement. Tight pants.
Okay, this is Ryan Adams' like big party story.
Okay.
I want you to note in this story how into Ryan Adams Ryan Adams is.
Okay.
Ryan Adams. One night, I was hanging out with the Strokes guys and Ryan. We were really stoned because we were basically always smoking pot. It was very late. Fab would always play me a song that he had written. Some beautiful romantic song. So one night, jokingly, I'm almost certain Fabby said, "Dude, what if John Mayer was playing that guitar right now?" And I said, "I can make that happen." And they all said, "You're full of shit." I said, "Give me 3 fucking beers." Because there was only so many beers left at that late hour. And I'll make it happen. I'm a goddamn genie in a bottle. And we died laughing. Now, I live down the block from John Mayer. And he'd been talking to me about his new song for a while. So I texted him, because he was always up late back then. I said, "Come to this apartment, bring an acoustic guitar. I really want to hear your new song." I didn't tell them that I'd done it. So everyone is sitting there, and I was like, "Let's all take bong hits." I really wanted it to get crazy. We smoked some bong hits. I probably did some blow. I started to drink my 3 beers. The doorbell buzzer rings, and I open the door, and John Mayer walks in with his fucking acoustic guitar, and they were all slack-jawed. John sat down and played the fucking acoustic guitar, 3 or 4 songs that probably have gone on to be huge, while those guys just sat there staring at me like, "Oh my God, you're a witch." The next day, John was like, "Hey man, next time maybe less cigarette smoke? That really hurt my throat." That apartment was like an airport smoking lounge.
Wow.
Do you kind
of
hear how
I started smoking some of the bong hits?
But yeah, can you kind of hear that? Kind of hear how like every part of that story ultimately is about Ryan Adams?
"I'm so good at this. I'm a genie in a bottle, baby."
We all died laughing. All right, we got a few left here.
Nathan Falwell. Our very first cab ride coming in from the airport. Angelo gets up front.
Oh, and Nathan Falwell, this is Kings of Leon.
Leon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming in from the airport. Angelo gets up front with the cab driver, and me and Caleb are in the back seat. We're just amazed. We can see the lights driving in, and we're like, "Oh my God, that's the biggest downtown we've ever seen in our lives." The cab driver starts talking to Angelo. and we're not really paying attention. And then Angelo kind of turns around and gives us a look of slight panic. The guy is saying, "You know what I'm going to do when I leave here?" "No, what?" "Well, my wife is fucking my best friend right now, so I'm going to go home and get a butcher knife and kill both of them. I'm going to cut her throat and I'm going to fucking gut him." And he is dead serious. Angelo is going, "You know, sometimes you can just talk things out, man." Just totally trying to defuse the situation. And then he texts us from the front seat. "This guy's a total fucking nut job. I've seen a lot of weirdos in my life in New York, but this guy takes the cake. Just don't say anything. Do not engage him. Let's just try to get to the hotel alive." So that was our first ever experience of New York City. A cab driver telling us that he was going to go home to kill his cheating wife and best friend. I think we even kept looking in the papers the next day to see if a woman from Queens had been butchered.
Wow.
Just a story.
Down to the alley! Bring it there!
You nailed that.
For that song.
That's perfect.
Thank you.
You couldn't have reduced that any better than you did.
Oh, the Kings of Leon.
James Barber. You're always going to get me back to the class thing.
Okay. Quick pause. This quote, I think, is important when thinking about the music that you and I talk about a lot today.
Okay.
You're always going to get me back to the class thing. One thing that happened in the 80s is a generation of kids who went to college started playing music for a living. And Sonic Youth are the first of that. All of a sudden, there are kids who went to Brown, who went to Harvard, who went to Michigan, who went to Berkeley, who are forming these underground bands. And they come from a background that's way different than the working class kids who had historically been the rock musicians, or the jazz musicians, or the R&B musicians. So in a way, the rise of dealing with the man is bad is connected with the entry of people who can afford to have those attitudes. Look at it this way. Historically, musicians are people who are, if I can make this work, I don't have to go work at the tuna canning plant or pump gas at the gas station. But all of a sudden it became, if I can make this band work, I don't have to go to law school.
There's a lot of conversations about authenticity in rock music and what it means to be underground or indie or whatever, yeah. They're not good faith positions, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like listening to this book got me to reflect on a lot of artists that I like a lot and how I sort of embellish them with these traits of like, almost moral traits of they were willing to be experimental at the risk of not having success. But in reality, I think that it's more complicated than that. Like that is totally a, I can afford to do that thing. Like going to Brooklyn and living in a crappy neighborhood for those kids was, I can afford to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Big questions, big questions. All right. We got two quick fun Vampire Weekend ones.
Cool.
And one other one.
Jim Merlis. There was bad stuff going on with the band.
Oh, wait. Okay. This is going to be the most interesting one, I think.
Okay.
This is what happened to the Strokes, basically.
There was bad stuff going on with the band. A lot of fighting, arguing, and the shows were bad. They were really, really drunk. It just wasn't fun. Everything was becoming a bummer. They didn't want to tour. They didn't want to do anything. It was just not fun to be around them anymore. Dave Gottlieb, go back to when I said to the band, "What's your vision?" And they couldn't answer that question. They had that vision on the first 8 months of the first album, and then they stopped. Probably because the roller coaster was so crazy. They just couldn't see.
Marksby. Interesting. Yeah. A little dirt there.
Some drama.
A little bit dramatic.
Makes sense though, right?
Yeah. And when you listen to quotes from them from that time, like, they're embittered about it, but they do feel totally aimless.
Yeah.
Like, Albert Hammond Jr. is complaining. He's just like, well, they told us they wanted something different from the second album, so we made something different with the third album. Then we were told it wasn't enough like the second album. Like, what was I supposed to do?
Right.
But it's like, why was you creating an album shouldn't have been in response to other people, right? Like, it should be, I have something I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
Life's hard, man. Okay, this is a story about Chris Baio from Vampire Weekend that I think you will like very much.
Chris Thompson. February 6 of 06 was the first practice. Ezra sent out emails. Hey, you know, when we meet up, we can practice a few songs, see if we can figure something out. It was a Monday night, and we had to finish by 8:45 because Baio wanted to get back to his dorm to watch 24. He was really into 24.
Yes. He's a dangerous animal. Why do I love 24 so much?
Pretty much career encapsulated quote about Chris Baio.
Kiefer Sutherland. Gonna say it's no.
I need to watch 24.
It's the clock ticking. It's counting on down. It's running out until that old bomb explodes. So just keep on shooting, just like you have done before.
We should do a Pete's Underground thing where we make Chris Baio songs about 24.
Hell yeah.
All right, this is the last one I got.
This has been a ride.
This is an amazing book. There's so, like, I am barely touching the surface. I cut like 20 because I was like, all right, already this is going to have to be, some of this is going to be cut out because it's too long. But like, I've just scratched the surface. I just grabbed what, this might be interesting to talk about on the podcast. That's all it is. There's way crazier, weird stuff in this book. It is very good. I highly recommend it. Meet Me in the Bathroom by Lizzie Goodman.
Cool.
Very good. Okay. Last quote, and it reminds you how smart Ezra Koenig is.
Ezra Koenig. When we first started getting press, I felt the most excited when I'd see people describe the music as preppy, because I loved the fact that we were getting people to have synesthesia. It doesn't actually make any sense to describe music as preppy, but suddenly people were describing it as if preppy had been a genre for the past 40 years. I especially loved when people would describe us on stage and misidentify what we were wearing. They'd be like, taking the stage in sweaters and polo shirts, on a night when nobody is wearing a sweater or a polo shirt. I started to feel like, damn, we're really building something. We're getting people to see things.
Cool.
Ah.
That Vampire Weekend first album is so preppy.
I've used that word to describe Vampire Weekend.
It's great. They're a bunch of college guys playing college tunes, wearing their polo shirts.
Yeah.
So good.
Vampire Weekend's very good.
I can't wait for a new album from them, man.
I know. It's going to be really, like, I have a little anxiety about it. Not anxiety. I'm worried it's not going to be good, but I'm excited all the same.
Yeah. That sounds radical, man. That sounds like a super cool book.
It's a very good book. It's, you know, it removes some of the legend. It enhances some of the legend. Sometimes stories contradict one another. There's a moment where multiple artists are having a conversation about Brooklyn and what it became at the end of the book, in which the sentiment is so universal that New York, and specifically Brooklyn, has become so corporate and different that there's one moment where two different artists have the same sentence, which Lizzie Goodman chooses to portray by having the first artist say half the sentence and then it ends on the other artist's quote. It's more than just gossip. It's like a really compelling document of our time. So yeah. I can't recommend it enough. Very good.
Super cool.
Okay. Only one more thing, then I'm done. I listened to Cardi B's first album and thought it was bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if Cardi B is actually as good as people say.
Well, supposedly she's dropping another album sometime this year, so we might hear some more from her later on, but It was good of you to go back and give her a shot.
Tell me if you think this is good.
You know, I could love you with all my heart. You're my baby and I love you. I just feel the need to hurt you. Maybe I'm scorned. Well, maybe I need a therapist. Maybe I'm petty. I wanna hurt you.
Oh my god.
Alright, I think you've gotten the picture.
It sounds like Tommy Wiseau.
Doesn't it?
Don't want to hurt you, Lisa. I don't know why. I love you, but sometimes I just want to hurt you.
Ha ha ha, buddy story, Charlie. I don't get it. I don't get the going crazy about her other than that she is representational, which is good. I'm glad people feel represented when they haven't before, but I don't know if that's going to be lasting as more diverse voices are allowed to progress to the top, because I don't think she actually has a ton of, I don't know, wind beneath her wings.
I see your Cardi B and I raise you Cupcake.
Did you listen to Cardi B collaboration with Bruno Mars?
Nope.
It's like, it's weird. It's weird because she doesn't fit in the track. She's better than Bruno Mars, I'll say that.
Wow.
But, like, I'm very quickly, listen to her and then Bruno Mars right after one another. Like, interesting, interesting, and then here's Bruno Mars. Like, the gentlest, most, like, cleansed pop music in the world. Like, he's just, like, going raw. I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting, weird collab that did really work.
Mm-hmm. I like Bruno Mars. I don't want to hate on Bruno Mars.
I'm perfectly okay with hitting on Bruno Mars.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it for me.
All right. Let me tell you a bit about what I've been listening to this week. I listened to What Happens Next by Joe Satriani. I was kicking around, maybe talking about this with you this week, but was fearful there would be very little to actually talk about. You know, hey, he's playing that guitar pretty good some more, and that's kind of what this album is. But I will say that I had a surprisingly good time with it. I think there's a lot of standout tracks on this thing. He's not melting your face off like he used to do back in the day, but he certainly is still a great guitar player that's cultivated some great sounds on here. This was really soothing to me to throw on while I was doing some work or having some other task going on in the background. It's just I got a lot of really cool sounds to it. Let's play a little bit from Head Rush. Some fat bass in the track too. You know, it's some guitar stuff, but there's some softer stuff on here too, like the track Cherry Blossoms, which I like a lot. We'll be right back. Just some good guitar stuff there, Mark.
That's some good guitar stuff, man.
Are you into that?
What do you think about just guitar things?
It's pretty cool. The album features a drummer that you might be familiar with.
Okay.
His name's Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. That's him playing the drums there. They play together in Chickenfoot. Am I right on that? Let me double check my sources. Do you know Chickenfoot?
No, this is a whole new world for me.
Yeah, Chickenfoot. It's a supergroup. Yeah, it's Sammy Hagar on lead vocals, Mike Anthony, the bassist from Van Halen, Joe Satriani on guitar, and Chad Smith on the drum set.
Wow.
So if That's you're missing weird. Out on your 80s rock revival, they're still doing their stuff together.
Chickenfoot? Why'd they call themselves Chickenfoot?
I don't know. It kind of looks like an upside down peace symbol.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've seen this album cover.
Yeah, I got the description right here. Sammy Hagar. No, actually, this is from Michael Anthony. There are three talons on a chicken's foot, and there were three of us. It was just supposed to be a BS name that we used for a while, and then when the rumors spread about the band, everybody used that name, so we thought, you know, forget it. Let's call it Chickenfoot. It all comes down to the music anyway.
Fair enough. That's not untrue.
So that album's pretty good. I don't know that it's blown my mind, but I had a good time with it. I also listened to Camila, which is the debut album from Camila Cabello, after hearing her Fifths Harmony buzz after listening to Havana a couple weeks ago on the show. I wanted to listen to this entire thing. And this album is not very engaging, Mark. I was not impressed by Camila's performance on this first album here. She sounds very heavily produced. Her voice is hanging out in that sort of airy space that Ariana Grande tends to be in, but she doesn't have the same sort of impact that she does. Here's a little bit from the lead-off track, Never Be the Same. I could see that thing being a Billboard hit in a couple of weeks here. I, for one, think it's super overproduced. It feels unnatural. It doesn't feel like her voice is coming out of a human being. She says heroin, morphine. It rhymes heroin with morphine. And it just doesn't work at all. Heroin. I will say that the song Havana has grown on me quite a bit. And that Young Thug feature in there is a lot of fun. I like the instrumentation. That song might be better than I gave it credit for a couple weeks ago. Yeah, but the album itself is pretty mediocre. Not the last thing yet, but pretty close. The Worm's Heart, the Flipped Shins album came out finally, and got to listen to that thing.
How was that?
Really excited to listen to this. The idea is, instead of doing like an all-acoustic album, some songs on Heartworms were acoustic, others were electronic, and so the Shins were like, let's just flip it. Let's do every song that was electronic, we'll do it acoustic, and every one that was acoustic, we'll do it electronic. It's not quite as much fun as I was hoping it would be. The singles that they lead it out with were really interesting. I liked them a lot, especially the Cherry Hearts Flipped. I want to play a little bit of that. I've been a champion of Cherry Hearts since we listened to that album. It was a very electronic produced song, and I know a lot of fans were turned off by it. I liked the melody of it a whole lot, and when they turn this thing into more of a traditional Shin song, this thing kicks butt, man. It's so good. That sounds like just great classic Shin, something right off, shoots too narrow. It's really good.
Cool.
But other songs like Milden Hall Flipped tend to not be very good. I wasn't a fan of Milden Hall originally, and this track is, I think, really bad.
It sounds goofy. It sounds bouncy.
Yeah, it's kind of gimmicky, and the whole album is kind of gimmicky. It's not as much fun as I was hoping it would be. There are some highlights, but not a great idea on the whole. No, I take that back. It is a great idea. I wish more people would do stuff like this, because it's a fun way to re-release an album, have you reconsider some of the other songs on there. It just doesn't necessarily work all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering. Is I think we both felt positively about Heartworms, but at least for me, I felt like it was a solid record, and like that was pretty much where my A to C was.
Right.
If they were doing this remix thing, maybe with an album that had more consistent songs that like were beloved by fans, like maybe an older album or something, would that maybe be more interesting?
Potentially. I mean, I'd love to see him flip some other albums just to change up the way the songs sound. Yeah, I'm intrigued by it, but yeah, who knows? One last thing I dug up, a special treat for you here, Mark. It's a single that was put out by Serge Tankian.
What?
Yeah, this was kind of under the radar late last year. It's called Industrialized Overload. This is supposedly a track that had been recorded either with System back in the day or just kind of discarded like a B-track, something that was never really taken seriously. But it was written during the heyday of System of a Down. And so Serge has re-recorded and released this track as sort of a thank you for all the support that he's gotten. You know, he's doing movie scores now. He's releasing jewelry. He's become sort of a multimedia mogul. Mark, this track single-handedly convinced me that I never want to see System of a Down come back no. as a band ever again.
Why?
Because Serge has changed so much that any chance he has to add his artistic talents onto a song made by anyone else will be awful. It will be terrible.
Oh my God.
I think this thing is atrocious. Let's play a little bit. Best ones lost your waist. Happiness about ten place on your best ones lost your waist.
On your best ones lost your waist. Happiness about your waist. On
your best ones lost your waist.
Oh no.
So here's how I'm going to connect the dots here, right? That sounds horrific. And you can hear the heavy electronic production inside of there, the little like drum machine beat that's going on, and his vocal performance is weird and bizarre. But, you know, if you go back to something like Spiders, right, or the insanity that's taking place on their self-titled album, the dots are there. You can make this picture make sense. This thing could work if Serge was the same crazy lunatic that he used to be. But he's a different crazy lunatic now. He's cleaned up. He's polished. He's got his little goatee thing happening. He could try to be weird, but it would come across as way cringier and awful than it should be. That's the song.
Yeah. Like, when you... I heard that verse and I was like, that's kind of weird. I guess it kind of sounds like weirder stuff from System. And then that chorus really hit me like a cool water to the face. And then I was amazed to find it returned to that same verse. I was like, oh, we're back here again? Yep. Oh, this is surely terrible.
Yep. It's bad. Huh. No more System, please. I want to keep the happy memories with what I got. No more of that.
Man, what film scores does he do?
Some minor stuff. Let's see if I can look it up real quick. There was one that he did for a film from Armenia. But I'm not sure that he's gotten a lot of praise otherwise. Are you aware that Elect the Dead is over 10 years old now?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not finding the films. So I'm looking around here. No, here we go. 1915 and Furious.
Well, I don't know what those are even. I've not heard of those.
Well, Furious is a Russian historical fantasy film about the Ryazan knight, Evpaty Kolovrat.
Okay. Sure, that was spot on.
And 1915 is a psychological thriller.
Okay.
Yeah. And it does refer to the Armenian genocide.
Of course.
Yeah, that's kind of
that is his life's work. Yeah. Yeah. Not a genocide, but making people aware of that genocide.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Mark.
Man, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it was a real bummer. I was so excited. I'm like, oh, new Surge music. Here we go. I put that on, and it was like getting punched in the gonads by someone you cared for.
Jesus. That's it's rude. It's rude to do.
It's all over.
Sky's falling. Lightning, sky's over. Excuse me.
Then the thunder. Sky is over. Mark, it's your pick for next week. What are we listening to?
We are listening to an album.
I figured.
My phone crashed. Looks like the sky is over for this episode.
Well, okay.
Shut up. It's going to... Okay. Next week, we're going to listen to The Official Body by Shopping. It's a rock album, and I want to listen to it.
Okay. Want to play us a little snippet?
No. Of course I don't. You think I'm prepared for that? I can't even find the name of the thing. Oh, God. Jesus. All right. Here is a track from The Official Body, Shopping. It's called... Wild Child.
Cool.
What do you think of that?
A little bit of MGMT sounding there.
Yeah. I was going to say, last year we covered Priests just about around this time. So maybe this will be another Priests moment.
That'll be fun. Hey, before we talk about the Billboard, we should read some email.
Okay. We have email here from Okay. Does not look like this person specified their name. Perhaps they forgot.
Yeah, you should do that.
You should remember to write the name into your email. Because otherwise, I'm just going to sit here and credit myself for writing it.
Okay.
it says, hello, Charlie and Mark. I'm an Uber driver, and oftentimes on the job, I like to listen to new albums that are coming out, and... sometimes that doesn't go so good because I was listening to Kendrick Lamar's Damn and it upset a customer who gave me a 1-star review.
Who did it upset?
I thought that
that's customer, one of the best albums of the last year. You should be thanking him.
Damn.
Exactly.
Damn, you're right. This person says, it got me thinking, what's the worst song/artist to play while you Uber or Lyft for work? Okay.
So this is important because, you know, you can get that extra review from a good playlist, a good song. I'm thinking of the time when you and I got together and we were talking to an Uber driver about music. And he said, what's good for you right now music-wise? And he said, I've been jamming to some Prince recently. And this was before he had passed back in like 2014, 2015. And we were like, oh, yeah, some Prince? Let's have some Prince. He's like, yeah, how about some of this When Doves Cry? Just threw that on, and we were just jamming through the city skylines with that classic song blasting out of the little Toyota we were stuffed inside of. It was a great moment. It was a great, memorable Uber experience.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure with getting the right album. Some definite no-nos. I'm thinking Cupcake is probably not for your Uber. You got to be very mindful of who you play that thing for, because some people could be offended.
Sure.
Imagine Dragons, also a bad choice.
I think I've almost for sure heard Imagine Dragons while I was in Lyft.
Awful.
You know, there's a certain amount of like, you could just put on the radio. That's what most people do. Just put on the radio. But I like this idea that this person is like, no, I refuse. I call the shots here, and I'm going to take some risks.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like curating the right experience for your guests. Even better yet, like get a playlists on your Spotify account or your music thing, and then like have your guest choose the playlist they want. So you got to curate all the right playlists. You got your superhero music, your nighttime driving music, your neon drive Ryan Gosling playlist. You got your your summer jams, your winter jams, your party jams.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're feeling. And as long as you curate all the best songs on those playlists, you got yourself a happy customer in the back seat.
Yeah. What I'm saying is put in the work. You have to put in the work. Otherwise, I'm going to rate you 1 star too. I rate every single ride I've ever taken 1 star.
You sound like an awful person. Why would anyone ever volunteer to pick you up?
They don't. I'm banned from every app.
Who else is bad?
I also think... Well, on a good note, I think if you're like wanting a quick fix and you don't want to be obvious, like you want to take a little bit of a risk, I find that there's a lot of good chill wave playlists on Spotify that are actually pretty well curated. And chill wave is designed to be chill. It's designed to be relaxing. There's very rarely a lot of lyrics involved too. So most people will not object to listening to chill wave, even if it's not their thing. Most people will be like, yeah, okay. And you'll seem cool because chill wave is cool. So maybe try that. I don't know. Do whatever, man.
Cool. Chill.
Wave. Chill wave.
Chill wave. All right. Let's go to the Billboard, Mark. What was that song you were talking about earlier with Bruno Mars and Cardi B?
Oh, no. Did that win the award? It's called Finesse.
Is it called Finesse?
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about that on the show next week, Mark.
Wait, with Cardi B? Featuring Cardi B?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay.
You did this. Your listens caused it to be up there. It moved from 35 to 3.
Because of one listen?
I'm guessing because Cardi B's on it. I'm looking at the top 10, and 3 of the top 10 have Cardi B featured.
Oh, wow.
I guess people that's are nuts. Hungry for some more of that.
Huh. Okay. Well, that's good, though, because I would kind of sprinted through that track. I would like to talk about it more in depth. It couldn't have come at a better time.
Going to be fascinating. So next week on the show, we will be discussing shopping. We'll be talking about Bruno Mars and Cardi B. As always, if you got an email, send it in to weeklybeatshow@gmail.com. Hit us up on the various social medias, the Facebooks, and find us in your podcast feed. Drop us a 5-star review. We sure appreciate the love when you do so. It means a lot to us. Keep this posse train rolling in the 2018. Mark, I'm excited because after next week, it's Mimicking Birds time.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
Oh, and one more announcement. Preoccupations announced an album due out in March this year.
Yeah, I heard that.
They're staying busy. And we got MGMT dropping an album. We've got the Decemberists coming back. Starting to shape up to be a year of music.
It is definitely going to be a year of music. Well, there's no question about that.
As always, keep it here for all things the year in music 2018. This has been Weekly Beats. That's The Horse.
I'm The Horse.
And my name is Charlie. And this is the part where we say, play that outro music!
tropical, tropical, tropical. Bitch, I am sicker than most of these hospitals. I am cold with a stick like a popsicle. Try to clown me, I'm a Ronald McDonald, you yeah. Tropical, tropical, tropical. Bitch, I am sicker than most of these hospitals. I am cold with a stick like a popsicle. Try to clown me, I'm a Ronald McDonald, you Donald, you. Clown your ass to the fullest. Like, bitch, your ass ain't the fullest. You can't never make me look foolish. No, no. Cause my bank account look the fullest. My withdrawals be the fullest. My withdrawals be the fullest. The only thing you draw is them eyebrows, and them bitches still ain't the fullest. Ah!